As we travel through the book of John over the next few weeks, we're going to spend a lot of time looking at Jesus. My question to you is, after that, what is Jesus to you? What is He to you? Pray with me. Father, we thank You that You are, You're more than wonderful. Any word that we can come up to describe You, You're more. And we thank You. For You are the Word. You are ever-present. You are in our lives, desiring to have an impact on us moment by moment. And as we study Your Word now, open our eyes. Father, let us see more of You. Let us see how wonderful You are. Let the words be that are spoken be Yours, and give us ears to hear. Father, we want more of You. And it's in Your name we pray. Amen. Last week we started off in John chapter 1. We spent our time looking at John describing Jesus as the Word and how Jesus was present before the beginning of existence of this world, and He will be there at the end. And then John, through the rest of chapter 1, he talks about baptizing Jesus. And then he gives us a breakdown of Jesus selecting His disciples. And then in chapter 2, and if you have your Bibles, turn with me there. We get a story that you've probably heard your whole life. But there is an amazing life lesson for us tucked away just in two verses that if we're not careful, we'll drive right by it, that I want us to take and apply today because it's life-changing. John chapter 2, I'm going to start reading at verse 1. It says, "The next day there was a wedding celebration in the village of Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and His disciples were also invited to the celebration." Now I want to stop right there because I want us to put in context a couple of things. Number one, we don't know whose wedding this is. Okay? I think from what we gather and what we will continue to read, it is somebody pretty close to Jesus. The interesting thing about this is the timeline. Look back in chapter 1. John is telling us in verses 29 through 34 about the day he baptized Jesus. And then verse 35 says, the following day, okay, so this is the day after Jesus got baptized. And then verse 43, the next day, okay, so now we're 2 days out. And in this passage, over the course of those 2 days, Jesus selected His disciples. There are 2 days. The day He got baptized, the next day He started picking disciples, He picked some more the following day. And then verse 2 starts with the next day. That is 3 days after Jesus got baptized. And some of these disciples are only a day old. They've only been on the bus a day. The veterans have been on the bus for 2 days. Okay? And verse 2 says, Jesus and His disciples were invited. Which tells you, this whoever's getting married is very close to Jesus. He's only had disciples 2 days. They couldn't even have got the invitations out that quick. So it is somebody who knew Jesus and said, who knew this things were going to start happening, bring them with you. Okay? Then look at verse 3. The wine supply ran out during the festivities. So Jesus' mother told him, there's no more wine. Verse 4. Dear woman, That's not our problem, he replied. My time has not yet come. But his mother told the servants, do whatever he tells you. Verse 6, standing nearby were six stone water jars used for Jewish ceremonial washings. Each could hold 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus told the servants, fill the jars with water. When the jars are filled, he said, now, dip some out, take it to the master of ceremonies. So the servants followed the instructions. Verse 9, the master of ceremonies tasted the water that was now wine, not knowing where it had come from, though of course the servants knew. He called the bridegroom over. Verse 10, a host always serves the best wine first, he said. Then when everyone has had a lot to drink, he will bring out the least expensive wine. But you have kept the best until now. So let's unpack this for a second. One thing you need to understand about wedding ceremonies of this day, it is not a 3 or 4 hour event. It is 3 or 4 day event. Probably when Jesus was getting baptized, this wedding was starting. And it goes on. Now, the custom in this time, as we're told in Scripture, is you serve the best stuff first. And after everybody's had a bit, you bring out the cheap stuff so they won't notice. This is 2 or 3 days in. And now they're serving the best stuff that a few minutes ago was water. I want us to zero in on the life lesson for us. Look back at verse 3. The wine ran out during the festivities, so Jesus' mother told him, there's no more wine. Verse 4, dear woman, that's not our problem, he replied. My time has not yet come. Verse 5, but Jesus' mother told the servants, do whatever he tells you. Okay, here's what we know from the scripture of what little bit we have about this event. This is not the teenage, scared to death, new mother that we read about on the Christmas story. Okay? She has some sort of authority at this wedding. Like I say, we don't know whose it is, but she has something to do with this wedding, and this problem is a big concern to her. A big concern. What does she do with her problem? She took it to Jesus. She said, Jesus, here's the problem. Here's the problem. And he said, it's not my time. She said to the servants, do whatever he tells you. There's a life lesson for us in this. The first thing is, where do you take your problems? Okay? Where do you take your problems? This problem for Mary was bigger than she could solve. She didn't know how to handle this, but she knew who did. So she took her problem to Jesus. Now for us, so oftentimes we like to go to Jesus and tell him our problems, and then 30 minutes later we tell him again, and 30 minutes later we tell him again, and then tomorrow we'll tell him again, because we're still worried about this. All we know from this story is Mary took her problem to Jesus with some servants and said, y'all do whatever he tells you. And she went back to the party. Okay? Because she had released her problem. Think about it like this. Have you ever sold a car? You sell a car in your safety deposit box or somewhere. You have that title. And on the front of the title is all your pertinent information about you and the car. On the back, there's a place at the top that says, I, whoever you are, sell this car to whoever you're selling it to, and you sign it. The minute you sign that title, that car is not yours anymore. It belongs to whoever you put on here. That's what Jesus wants from you and I with our problems. Sign the title over. Whatever it is, whatever your problem is, you can't handle it, you don't know how to fix it, you don't know which way to go, pull the title to your problem out, sign it, and go back to the party. That's what Mary did. She was done with it. Did she know how he was going to fix it? No. Did she care? No. The verse I read to you a minute ago, John 14:14, Jesus said, ask whatever you want, I'll do it. In my name, focus. Don't go ask Jesus, make me a millionaire, and then get mad because he doesn't. Okay? No. If you are focused with your life on living for him, when the problems come in, they're not your problems because you gave your life to him. When you get a problem and you don't know how to handle it, you take out the title of that problem, turn it over, sign the back, put Jesus' name in the recipient, and go back to the party. It's done. Don't worry about it. The second thing, that life lesson that we need to grab a hold of here, is that she has faith that he's going to fix the problem. What that looks like in reality to you and I is at no point does she tell him how to fix the problem. Right? We like to come with him of how we want the problem fixed. Most of you, when you take your car to the mechanic because you have a problem, you don't tell him how to fix it. You tell him what the problem is. And you have faith, if you went to the right mechanic, that he's going to fix it. Jesus will fix your problems. But you have to have faith. Listen to what Hebrews 11:1 said. Faith shows the reality of what we hope for and the evidence of what we cannot see. Mary did not know how Jesus was going to fix this problem that was a big concern for her. But she took it to Jesus, signed the title over, and went back to the party. And had faith that he would fix it, knowing that he did not need her help in how. Jesus has got the how. The last thing I want you to take away from this in our life lesson is that she doesn't worry about this. It was done, over, finished, because she trusted him. She trusted him. So the question for you and I truly is, do you trust him? I've had the same mechanic on our cars for 25 years. I take my car in there, I leave it, he calls me, this is wrong. Okay, fix it. I don't worry about I'm getting scammed or taken up the river. I trust him because he has done it before. Over and over and over. The question is, how much do you trust Jesus? Matthew 6:25 says, and this was a passage of scripture that we all know very well, this is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life. And then Jesus goes into a long explanation of what you and I should not worry about. What we wear, what we eat, where we sleep, none of that. But what he says at the beginning is, do not worry about your everyday life. Don't worry about it. It's done. Give it to me. Tell me what your problems are. Tell me what you're worried about. And then be done with it. Go back to life. You and I have put a lot of deposits through worry on things that never happened. And you can't get those deposits back. It's time, effort, and energy wasted and gone. And you can't get it back. In this story, Mary's got a problem that it's a big deal to her. It may not be a big deal to you, but it was a big deal to her. She took it to Jesus. What did he do? Blew everybody's mind with how he solved it. If you take your problems to him, he's going to blow your mind how he solves them. Let me illustrate this for you in closing. A number of years ago, Misty Grant and I and my mother and brother took 4 road trips. After we had finished these road trips, Grant had been to all 48 states in the U.S. I have scrapbooks from each trip of things we saw, places we stayed, memories that we made. Okay? Now, when I was in seminary, I worked my way through seminary as a travel agent. I'm very good at it. I enjoy it. To the point that each one of these 4 trips, they took me about a year to plan each one of them. Okay? They had routes planned wherever we were, points we would stay, how far we could travel in a day, what we would see, meaningful things along the way that were important to us. I had these trips planned almost to the minute. Now, it wasn't the kind of thing where, come on, we got to keep going. No, they were planned so that my family could enjoy them. Every detail was taken care of. I researched ahead of time where the best places to eat were. Because if you stop and think about this, when you go on vacation, generally you don't think about that. And then you end up eating at the places where all the tourists eat, and it's not that good, and it's overpriced. Okay? I researched ahead of time where we ate every meal. I researched where to get gas. We could go this far to that point. I knew precisely, almost to the minute, on every one of these trips where we needed to be. Now, what my family didn't know was I also had contingency plans. If something went wrong and it threw off the schedule, what needed to happen to get us back on schedule? Every single one of these trips were flawless. We had so much fun. But when the trip started, we would fly to a certain place, wherever we were going to start the trip. We would rent a car for the entire trip. Over the course of 4 trips, we traveled over 10,000 miles. Every one of them, every single mile, I was in the driver's seat. Sit anywhere you want, but I was in the driver's seat. I knew where we needed to be, how long we had to get there, where we needed to stop. Every one of these trips were precise. That doesn't compare, not even come close to what Jesus has done for your life. Every minute, he's got it perfectly planned that it will be the most enjoyable, rewarding experience that will draw you closer to him. It does not mean that there's not going to be problems, but when the problems come, what he wants you to do, sign the title, hand it to him, and get on with the trip. Because what he wants for you, like he said, is don't worry. I've already planned it. Before every one of these trips, I knew where we were going to be and when we were going to be there. It does not compare to your life. Jesus knows where you're going to be Wednesday at 1 o'clock. He already knows. Why wouldn't you let him do the driving? What are you worried about? The wine ran out. No big deal. Jesus will fix it. Jesus doesn't want you carrying around the burden of worrying about this life. He already planned it out. The memories that you can make with Jesus won't compare to this little book. But what he's got planned for you will blow your mind if you let him fill your water jars and turn them into wine. Pray with me. Father, we thank you for the fact that you love us enough to plan every moment, to be concerned about every problem, to want to be active in every moment of our life. Let us sign the title over to our problems and get on with the trip and the party. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. Before we go, I got one last thing I need to do. If I can do it. Mark and Sherry, come up here. I'm in trouble, but it's okay. You fired me as your preacher already, so. Today is Mark and Sherry's last Sunday with us. Sherry and I were talking this morning. She's been our church administrator for 12 years. They're pretty special folks, as y'all know that. They're moving to God's country. I'm jealous. I know. But we want y'all to know, both of you and you, how much we appreciate what y'all have done for this church. We're going to miss you more than you know. But we want to pray for you as you go. Mrs. Bowling, would you get a mic and pray? Because I know I ain't going to be able to. I love you.
Father God, what a privilege it is to be your child, to be in fellowship with others who love you. And Father, these two have been precious in your sight, dear to us, precious in our sight. And Lord, we send them off with joy, with regret. We want the best for them. We want your Holy Spirit to go before them, not just in this move, but in every moment of every day of their lives. That, Lord, you would be glorified in them. That you would take the love that they possess because of you and what you've poured into their lives. And it would just spill over everywhere they go. That every step they take, Lord, would be a glory to you. Lord, we send them off knowing that you have planned this. They thought that they had planned this, but this is your plan for them. They've got people to meet. They've got things to do that, Lord, will fulfill the good works that you planned for them from the foundation of the world. Father, always let them remember how much we love them. They are out of sight, but they're not out of mind. They're not out of heart. And Lord, we ask you to go with them, to walk with them, to prosper them, to build them up, to draw them closer to you. and to be light and salt in their new surroundings. We send them off in Jesus' name. Amen.
Before they leave, we love y'all.